Who knows? Okay, I've got 20 minutes left, I think. And I would just like to basically introduce, I guess, the Sanctification Week, which we have starting today. And I've headed up my title, Sanctified for Purpose. And I just want to explain, when we talk about sanctification, of course, we can't make ourselves better. In Jesus' eyes, God's eyes, if we're Christians, we're already sanctified and holy and totally righteous before him. But the Holy Spirit is also a sanctifier. And part of his role is to sanctify our lives too. And so this week, I think, is going to be a significant week for us. And I really want to encourage people to buy into it as we start this new season. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. This was the promise Joshua gave to Israel. The Lord is going to do amazing things among them. But firstly, they needed to consecrate or sanctify themselves. So for Joshua and the children of Israel, this was a new season. 40 years of wandering in the desert had come to an end, and it was now time to take hold of all that God had got for them. They were leaving the wilderness behind for good. Most of them hadn't known any other way of life. That was normal to them, to wander around in the desert. But what lay in front of them was new. It was unknown, and it was exciting, even if it was a little scary. And here they are on the borders. Here they are about to cross the Jordan. And Joshua brings this word to them. Before we go over, it's important that we sanctify ourselves. And I want to say, church, as we come to this place in our life as a church, it's time for us to be prepared to leave those familiar ways behind and embrace the new. We've been in this building just 3 weeks. I don't believe any of us know what the Lord has in store for us. We have no idea what we will be doing here over the next year, who's going to be coming in, what sort of different programs and things will be happening in this place. So we need to get ready, because what happened in the past is the past. Now is a new season, and it's time to embrace it. And they knew, the children of Israel knew, that the new was going to be good. They'd heard reports, they'd seen the fruit. Joshua and Caleb had even tasted of it, and they were the only two of them, by the way, and it was very good. But before we get going, Joshua said, before we go into this place, we need to consecrate ourselves. And I feel, LifeSpring, that's where we are at this moment. Before we get going on this journey, it's just time to stop. It's time to pause. It's time to say, Lord, we're just going to gather and we're going to meet with you this week. We want to put you in your proper place. You've given us an amazing building, still much to do. You've given us an amazing vision, still much to fulfill. But we're coming and we want to put you in your proper place. So this is a new season for us. And what was said of the children of Israel can very easily be said for us too. It's a new season, and we have to leave the old behind. The good and the not so good. It's probably in some ways easier to leave the good behind because we can rejoice. But the not so good, it is so important we let go of. Those disappointments, those offenses, those unfulfilled dreams, those things which just haven't worked out as we expected them to work out, church, leave them behind. God's got a plan for us, and it's going to be good. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And maybe some of us don't clearly perceive all that God wants to do yet. But the promise is, I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The promise is of life and blessing. But in order to get hold of life and blessing, we need to let go of the past and embrace wholeheartedly all that God wants for us. Paul says in Philippians, forgetting what lies behind, I press on. That's why we need this pause. This is a week of sanctification, so that we can forget what lies behind and in faith embrace all that God is calling us to. Now is the time to take hold of all that God has promised. It's time for dreams to be fulfilled. This is Ephesians chapter 3 from the Message. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around and by working, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. Church, it's time to dream. It's time to take hold of that which God has promised. Okay, we dreamt of a building. We're meeting in it. We're here now. Hallelujah. Still much to do, but we're here. A temple, a place of refuge, a home for LifeSpring, a conference center, and a center for the community, and much more. Who knows? Keep hold of the dreams. It's time to dream of many souls finding salvation. Gordon, you sent an amazing little letter just the other day. I just loved it so much, and the poem was absolutely brilliant. But Gordon, you sent a check, and it was to buy some chairs for some of the souls which are yet to be saved. You know, I love that faith. That's what we're here for, that we might see people find salvation. People in the community, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, let's bring them here and pray that God will bring life into them too. On Sundays, in our cells, on Alpha, in the cafe area, at Refresh or Live or Youth or Children's places, we want people to find Jesus and to know that they can be saved. It's dreaming of cells growing and being planted because people are coming in all across Reading. And teams of 12 being formed, not just attenders or converts, but disciples and leaders, so that we can continue the work. It's dreaming of a strong church, a church which is making a difference everywhere, because His life is in us. It's His Spirit working through us. We are being discipled. We are being changed from glory to glory. We're becoming more like Jesus because of His work among us. And as the church is strong, we're going to make a difference. And we'll have an impact. Our homes will change. Our marriages will change. Our families will be different. Our workplace will be different. Schools and universities will be impacted. Because we're so great? No, because He's so great and He lives in us. And as we allow the greatness of Jesus to live in us and overflow and touch others, as we leak, we will find people in our workplaces that take notice. Our neighbors will see. We will have a passion for Jesus and a compassion for the lost. We're dreaming of hosting His presence. In fact, if you were to look at the context of the verse which I took from Joshua, it's very much about the presence of God and the ark and being connected to the ark and allowing the ark to go forward first and to follow, because we need to follow the presence. Where He goes, we go. And I want this place to be known as a place where He's honored, where we host His presence well and we honor the Holy Spirit. So keep dreaming. The future will be different to the past. Someone said to me on Easter Sunday, "It's like you've come of age, Nev," which I thought was very kind of him. He left us quite a few years ago. I think he thought we were a bit immature then, but now he thinks we've come of age. So I took that as a compliment. But the future will be different from the past. Certainly, you know, that little church that met in that little school that nobody even knew existed, and in our homes, now all of a sudden there's a bit of a profile to this place. We've got something to live up to, haven't we, guys? It's unknown. It's exciting. It's a bit scary. But like the children of Israel, Joshua said, "You've not been this way before. You need His presence to guide you." That's the same for us. That's why we're having a sanctification week. We're saying, "Lord, we're laying down these dreams. Thank you for the dreams you've given us, but we're laying them down. Come and just refill us, enable us to fulfill that call which you've put on our lives. You see, it needs a change of thinking. In the office, I was joking with Marilyn the other day and others, you know, we're so used, 30 years, we've had to put stuff away and get it back out again. And we've had to operate like a church which doesn't have its own home. But now, actually, you know, we've got an office where we can count the money. We don't need to wrap it up in boxes and take it from in a car to put into an office. You know, we've got everything's different. We need to get the old way out of our thinking and begin to embrace the new. Do you know what? Jesus calls it repentance. It's a change of mind. And part of this sanctification week, I hope, will enable us to change our minds, to think more like he's thinking, and not to think how we used to think, because that's where we were, and it's not where we are now. And I don't know why you can see all that in front of me, but this will come up before I intended it to. But if we get it right, I was going to say before we go into all of that, if we get it right, if we remain humble and teachable, if we remain united in spirit and purpose, if we choose to honor him and his presence, if we make him our senior pastor and shepherd, if we make every effort to keep his life, that flame of his presence, alive in our hearts, then we ought to get ready. And we will prove Pastor Caesar right. This building is too small. We will be a church of 1,000 and more. We will be a spring, that prophetic word the Lord gave us, whose waters never fail. In a world which is getting darker, we will shine more brightly. In a world which is losing hope, hope will rise in our hearts. In a world where marriage and family values are being undermined, we will stand for Christian marriage and believe for godly families. So what did they do? What do we need to do as we embark on this new season? Well, they had a sanctification week. And that's what we're going to do too. We're going to have a sanctification week. We're going to give our visions, our dreams, the building, our lives, back to the Lord. We're dreaming for big youth works, big children's works among us. But we're starting, Lord, this is where we are. Come and fill us. Come and use us. It's all about you. So just quickly in practice, James has mentioned some of this already. No evening sales this week. We're going to be gathering every Friday. Look, please, why don't you aim to come to at least three? At least three or four. You know, I've heard somebody saying, oh, I'll probably come to one. Hey, this is a sanctification week, not a sanctification day. Yeah, we're starting tonight. We're going to be gathering. Come to at least three or four. The more you come to, the more opportunity the Lord has to minister into your heart and into your life. We're calling for a media fast. Now, don't get all religious on me. Yeah, I actually might want to see something about the funeral on Wednesday, so I'm not thinking, oh, I can't turn my television on, you know, this, that, and the other. But, you know, generally speaking, I'm cutting out non-Christian television, non-Christian music, anything which will distract me. You know, you need to cut out Facebook and video games and films. You know, let's have a week, 6 days, actually. We'll rest on the seventh. 6 days where we can just focus on the Lord and we're not going to allow distractions to come in and take us off what God's called us to. Maybe some of our young people might think, well, I'll give the town a miss this week. You know, maybe some of our, you know, regular things about football or sport, you know, maybe we can leave that for this week, just 6 days, and say, Lord, I just want to give myself to you. So there's no point staying at home. There's nothing to do. You might as well come out here and get sanctified. So Tuesday and Thursday mornings, an hour for prayer from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock in one of the rooms downstairs. And this is why we're doing it. It's a time to stop. It's a time to receive from him. It's a time to recognize our dreams are impossible, you should say. I don't know what's gone wrong with this. No point looking at that. It's time to recognize our dreams are impossible, but for him. Do you know what he said to Joshua? The Lord said, or to Moses, he said, you know, you're going into a land, the people are bigger, the nations are stronger, there's more people of them, they're more established, their cities are fortified, but I'm going ahead of you. And what is basically impossible for man, you are going to do because I'm calling you to inherit the land. That's why we need to start with him, isn't it? That's why we need to come back and say, Lord, it's impossible. How can I see my friends saved? How can I grow my cell? How can I reach the multitudes? How can we reach the youth? How can we make an impact with the poor in Reading? How can we make a difference? It's impossible. But that's what you've called us to do. And we're saying, here we are. Here we are, Lord. We're coming back to you. Fill us. Refresh us. It's time to let faith and hope and love rise in our hearts. It's a time to dream and believe. Because if we believe, everything is possible. It's time to repent of wrong attitudes. So we can ask the Lord, Lord, just shine that light in me. You know, where I've been negative, where I've brought disunity, where I've spoken badly, where I've not forgiven. Talk about forgiveness as well. Where I've not forgiven, where I'm holding offense. Lord, just come. Holy Spirit, I just want to be open for you over these next few days for you to show me what needs to be done. It's a time to receive healing of the souls. I believe God has brought us to this area with a particular purpose, to bring healing. There's many in this area who are living in a worse way than most of us are. And God is calling us to touch their lives. And many of them are really hurting. Many of them have been really abused. Many of them have just been in a bad way. And if we take our hurts and abuse and don't get rid of that, we're not going to be able to be a blessing to them. But if we're healed, we can bring healing. If we're free, we can bring freedom. If we have hope, we can bring hope. Do you hear what I'm saying? So guys, church, God's called us to be healed and free, to be an army, to make a difference for him. Lastly, it's time to recommit to God. His purposes for us as a church and for us as individuals too. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. John. So LifeSpring, let's consecrate ourselves. I believe the promises for tomorrow. I will do amazing things among you. I believe it's things that we've not even dreamed of. But it starts with that process of recommitting. Oh, can I still have that on? It starts with that process of recommitting, coming back and saying, Lord, here we are for you. And as the church gathers together, we can expect him to minister his life and his healing, that we might be blessed in order to be a blessing. Amen. And my friends up here. Hallelujah.
Just want to show you, that scripture was the scripture that God gave me when we left the mission.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Neb didn't know that. But I just, if I can have your permission, I'd pray for people for a healing, gift of healing. I really feel God just, when Neb said about you're going to be healing, and it says desire earnestly the best gifts. And I just love people to stand there who would like to be used by God in healing, physical healing, mental healing, emotional healing, relational healing. If you'd like God to anoint you to be a healer, I just want you to stand right now in the name of Jesus and lift your hands up to him. I would all men everywhere, and ladies as well, lift up holy hands to the Lord. Lord, you see these hands that are lifted up. Lord, I pray now for an anointing of your Spirit to come upon these people, Lord, that you will give the healing of Jesus into the hands of these people, that they will bring healing to this town, healing to this nation.
Yes.
Lord, amongst the young people, Lord, every young person, Lord, I pray that you put healing of relationship. I pray you will put a spirit of fatherhood upon the fathers. I pray you'll put a spirit of motherhood among the mothers. I pray, Father, that you will anoint these people in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
receive the
Lord.
Healing of God.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Let's receive that together. As we stand, we're just going to sing in closing. I just want to read from Deuteronomy to you. And it's a picture of the promised land. And of course, it's all spoken of in literal, physical language. But I want you to interpret that spiritually. But this is what the Lord said to Joshua. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. This is prosperity. This is the blessing of the Lord, the spiritual blessing which he wants to give us as we walk with him and are obedient to him. And he goes on, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord the God for the good land he's given you. But be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant. That's the promise of the Lord. And when we look back to this day and this season, and when we have two or three services on a Sunday, and when there's youth work bursting at the doors, we're not going to think, oh, what a great church we were. Oh, what an amazing ministry bunch of guys this is. We're going to say, Lord, you've done it. Lord, you've done it. We remember it's you. It's for your glory and it's for your honor. When the people get healed because of our embrace or our touch, we won't be saying, oh, I'm an amazing healer. Lord, it's your life. We remember it's from you. That's why we're starting with sanctification. That's why we're starting with rededication and recommitment over this week, so that the life of God